thoughts of that when Ashley was heading over to Chrissy was going to pray. That's what I thought. I was like, what? I said, good for her. She was. Oh, good. But it's okay. So you kind of lead at the house, huh? Okay. It's all good. Well, it's good to see all your faces here tonight. One thing about midweek services, when you get to worship in the midweek, it really helps you get through the rest of the week. And you find yourself worshiping God in the middle of the week than just on Sundays. And it really helps people. I think it really helps us get through some of the things that we're trying to work through. And also helps us stay off of the roads that we don't need to be on. So, but tonight, I want you to turn over to Philippians if you have your Bibles. We're going to be in chapter 1. I need this more for me tonight probably than you, but I need to hear this again tonight. And I try to leave this section about 3 times. You guys who preach know that you stick in something and you want to get away from it, and then the Holy Spirit brings you back. And the next thing you know, you give in and you say, okay, I'm going to preach this thing. Paul is a prisoner, writing this letter to Philippi, the people. In chapter 1, it says, verse 1, Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's just kind of throwing it out there, acknowledging everyone that this letter is for open reading, not a private piece, but for open reading, which we're doing tonight. He says, verse 3, I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you. Paul has a relationship wherever he goes. He never leaves it the same as when he got there. That's exactly how we should be wherever we have relationships with people. We should never leave those relationships the same as we got there. They should be better because people of God's family are to be encouragers. We're to be encouragers to one another, but also not just those who are saved, but also those who are lost, that, to share with them that there is a hope. But he says, I give thanks to God for every remembrance of you. In my prayers, I remember many of you. Always in my prayers, I remember the staff that I have here, the people that I see on, whether I just see them on Sunday or I see them every now and then, or I see them on Sunday and Wednesday. I still pray for them. I still pray for you. I pray for those that are struggling. I pray for every female in our life house. I pray for every male, whether they know me or not, and I pray for them by name. And so many times before they're even coming, I already know who they are, and I'm already praying for them because I believe this. God is the answer. To what question? To whatever we're going through. For what problem? For whatever problem we are going through. So I thank God for you, and but not only just you, but for the people that you don't know who are across this country that I've met through different trips that Carla and I've taken, or just through pastoral things that I've been through. I make a lot of contacts with a lot of people, and there are people that pray for us on a regular basis, and I am thankful for them as well. When you stand before God, will you be able to thank God for someone in your life? And I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be because they helped you and they just did one thing. It's going to be because they made an impact in your life, an eternal impact in your life. That when they said they would pray, so many people say they're going to pray, but they don't. They just do lip service. But you know when you get to heaven who actually prayed for you, who actually helped you in ways that maybe you've not even seen or been a part of. So he says, I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you. Even while he's in prison, he's thanking the people. He says, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I remember all of those who helped us when we first started, but also remember those who helped us even today. And we need to remember those who have helped us in our walk with the Lord. But he says, I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. This is what I know where the scripture speaks to me today. for what we are struggling, what we are going through today. It is though, remember what I said a couple of weeks ago? I said, when you pray, you're talking to God, but when you read, He's talking to you. As I'm wrestling through my prayer time saying, Lord, we need funding for the ministries. We need funding. Church is doing good. Ministries need some funds. We need some funding for the ministries to keep all the lights on, all the things going on. And what it is when I'm reading this, what it is I'm sure of this, that He who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Basically, it means this. If Jesus started the ministry, Jesus started the church, it won't close until He wants it to close if you do it His way. If you do it His way, it's the same thing in life. But He will work it on. It will continue to go on because He's put that good work into me, into many of you. And He says, is it right for me to think this way about all of you? Because I have you in my heart, and you are all partners with me in grace, both in my imprisonment and my defense and establishment of the gospel. Basically, Paul loves the Lord Jesus Christ, but he also loves the Jews. He also loves the Gentiles, the people. He loves the church people. He loves the Imperial Guard, the guys that are guarding him in prison while he's there. He even loves those who are against him and speaks against him. And we're going to see that in verse 12, we're going to see something. Verse 12. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has actually resulted in the advance of the gospel. So if you don't know Paul is an individual who had very strong zeal for God, but did not want anything to do with Jesus Christ. But he loved God, and God knew that he loved him, but he didn't have Jesus Christ. So he went on a witch hunt. He went on a hunt looking for people who believed in Jesus, who felt that were leaving the ways of God and the law. And he went out and he had them hunted down. And he had them arrested, and many were killed. But on this Damascus road, Christ intervenes in his life. You see, Christ intervened in my life. And I hope that Christ intervened in your life as you was on a road doing your thing. As you were on the road doing life the way that you thought should be, the way it should be lived out. You know, there's no one that looks exactly like you. No one has your thumbprint. No one is you. You are unique. You are a special design. And God knows that. And God works on people to change people, to change the careers of men and women at times. Does that mean that God doesn't want people working at the grocery store that are Christians? No, He wants people in all places, that they might be the light in this dark world, to let the light of Christ shine through them and out of them, that people might see there's hope in the world and hope for their circumstances and situations. But here we find out Paul, it says, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has actually resulted in the advancement of the gospel. He's arrested. He's in prison. But when he was out of prison, he was out sharing the gospel. But he says, this is resulting in even something better. Sometimes when something bad happens, sometimes it results in something. But God uses that negative, that bad piece, and does it and uses it for his good. Some of you are not very happy about what's going on in your life right now. But I want you, if you focus on God, put Christ in your prayer piece. Just let Christ do a work on you. Take whatever is not working, and he can turn that into something good. How do I know that? Because we read the next verse. So Paul says, so that it has become known throughout the whole Imperial Guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is in the cause of Christ. Most of my brothers in the Lord have gained confidence from my imprisonment and dare even more to speak the message fearlessly. What he's saying is because I'm in prison, he said, I'm speaking just as loud or louder from prison than I was out there. So those other pastors and preachers that were out there, what they've done is they saw the example that I will not shut up and still speak from prison, and has encouraged them to speak even louder. Does that make sense? Now I'm going to share something with you personally tonight. Is that okay with you? I'm going to come down there. Take this with me. We are at a crossroads. We are doing exactly what God has called us to do. We're doing the soup kitchen. We've done this church. We're doing the soup kitchen. We're doing the men's life house. We're doing the women's life house. We have two houses for the women. We have another on June 5th. I'm going to be sharing some things. I'm not going to go there. I'm tempted to go there now, but I'm not going to go there right now. But I want to share some things because, listen, because even if we don't have the funding right now, I still go forward because that's where God calls us to go. Okay? The bank account doesn't tell me anything. It just tells me, you may read something I did put on Facebook, but Facebook only tells me what? When I look at our church bank account, what I see is limited resources. But when I stop looking at that and I start looking at God, I see unlimited resources. Does that make sense? So right now, after tomorrow, when our staff, the beautiful staff that we have, we don't pay you as well as what you should get paid, and the light bills that we have, and this small church with a budget of $500,000, it's a lot. Ministries is like 3-6, whatever it is. After tomorrow, we have about $1,000 of our original money that we have. That's about it. That will not make it through next week. We have some money that come in for the banquet, maybe about $4,000, maybe 40, whatever it was, Savannah. So why would God allow us to go through that? Now, in the business world, this is why God doesn't bring business people here. Because this is mess them up. Because this isn't about business. This is about faith. Now, faith comes here and here. So tomorrow we'll wake up, the bank account might look really like done. But God already foreseen that, and tomorrow night is our banquet. Tomorrow night is our banquet. Now, I think it's great if we know what it's like to have plenty. In January, I don't remember the number, Scott, but we might have had, $67,000 in the account, somewhere in there? Highest ever. I was stoked. I was excited. You know what I thought? I get a chance to breathe. Whew, right? But then January comes and February comes and some funds still come in. Then March comes and that was a tank. April comes and, you just got to keep. And then, you know what happens? Your money depletes. There are people that I can call and say, hey, we're in trouble. I think we need some money. I go to those people and they would write a check. But I don't do that. I want to go right here. Right here. When you're not here, I go here. I go right here. And sometimes I don't go up here because I want to go back here. Because I feel like I got to get humble. I got to feel like I don't even go up there because I got to come here. Because I got to get right with the Lord first before I come up here. I hope you understand what I'm saying. And why does God allow that to happen? God allows that to happen so we keep our attention on Him and not on the bank account. Now, it is foolish not to look at the bank account. You need to look, okay? But there's a week or two, sometimes I don't even look at it. I don't want to look at it. But what He does, He uses that to remind us that this is His place. Don't get caught up on anybody writing a big check. Be thankful. Thank them. Send them a thank you card. Be thankful. Give them a tour. Do something great. Acknowledge them. But praise Him. Praise Him. God, I'm not doing this for myself. So I didn't pick this. Paul didn't pick it. Paul would rather, he was going out running around doing what he wanted to do, having zeal, being, woo, I'm the man. Everybody's looking at me. And some of you would be doing something else in your occupation. I want to remind you, God didn't have a plan when I first started this. God had a plan before I started. God had a plan when I was over doing the drug stuff that I was doing over in Europe, buying drugs for our government, getting all caught up in the mafia, all that family stuff I was involved in. God, He had already a plan, but I was doing my thing. So now, as Paul continues to say that God had to change me, but even though with the change it might have looked like what I wanted, here I am in prison, but it's working even better with me in prison than me out of prison. Because not only is there just one excited pastor doing what he needs to do, it fired up all these other leaders to do what they needed to do. But why would God sit there and allow our bank account to get dry? Is it because a pastor needs to get up here and nag on you and keep preaching? Bring, you know, plant your seed and you get something back? No, that's not even biblical. You don't give to get. You give because you love the Lord. You give because the Holy Spirit put it upon your heart to give. What are we going to do? What are we going to do to get through that? Because tomorrow in the morning, side note, all y'all checks are good. Okay? Don't know how small they are, don't know how large they are, but your checks are good. But what's left is not much when I look into the account. Limited resources. I can cry on that all night long and whine to God about it. Or I can go over here and talk to God who has unlimited resources. Scripture says He owns everything because everything is His. I think I'm going to choose His way. And this is what we've been doing ever since we've been doing this stuff. And I've got really good friends that do some really good ministries. And they, man, their accounts are huge. And I love them. And I love what they do. But I will tell you this. I have been not criticized, but I want to say it this way. I'm not criticized. It's been in a humble way. People say, you have the spiritual gift of faith. Now, there's a difference. We all have faith. God give every believer a measure of faith. That's Scripture. But there are some that He has given the spiritual gift of faith. And when you get the spiritual gift of faith, or you get the spiritual, whatever spiritual gift that you get, because the Bible says you at least get one if you're a believer. You get one. You can specialize in something. Hospitality, whatever it may be. But if you get the spiritual gift of faith, your faith is going to be rocked. It's going to be challenged. And it is definitely going to be tested. But I will tell you this. You keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, as Scripture says, you're going to come out on the other side. Not just what you need. What I've known with the Lord is He always gives you more than what you need. But also, you get something even better. You know what it is? You get a fresh testimony to brag about Jesus. You don't have to lean on that 20-year-old testimony. You got a new one. Because you're doing life today with God, not doing life with God 10 years ago. You're doing life with God today. And so, He says these things. And He says, there's a part here in chapter 3. Because Paul is really in a tough spot. Because he wants to be free. But here he goes. He says, brothers, y'all have heard this, a lot of you heard this before. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it. Which I have not arrived. But he says, one thing I do is I forget what is behind me and reaching forward to what is ahead. Here's what we do. When we get into a crisis, we have this test and temptation. When we're in a crisis, we're in a moment to turn around and look. back. And every time we look back, we're usually looking back and Jesus is in the front. Because we're looking at things we just need to forget. One thing I do, forgetting is what is behind, reaching forward to what is ahead. I pursue my goal, the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. So basically he says, I am not going to look back, I am going to go forward. How do you do that in prison? Well, Paul found out how to do that. That he even had more strength and courage even from prison than he did prior. He wrote his best stuff in prison. People saw that and people were energized and people had great confidence gleaning off of what his pain and suffering. But what I want to place this in tonight. He says, for even the Thessalonica, or you sent gifts in chapter 4, my needs several times. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that is increasing to your account. What he's saying is, I have received the gifts that you sent, the financial gifts, those gifts. But even more, I seek what you're going to get from God for giving. Does that make sense? Not forgiving, but forgiving. Giving. Okay? This is not a prosperity piece where you give to get. But he says, this is increasing to your account. You know you all have an account? It's not an account here, but it's an account that the Lord has for you. And however he does it. His blessings. How he does life with you. And how he blesses for how you live and what you do. But he says, I've received everything in full. And I have an abundance. I am fully supplied. Having received from Aphroditus what you provided. A fragrant offering. An acceptable sacrifice. Pleasing to God. And he says, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. This is not the first time we've been here. But this is the first time we've been here at this level of $350,000 budget. You know what that is? It's about $7,000 a week. And we're down to like $1,000. Now, you know what? A lot of people get real nervous about that. And in the flesh, I get a little nervous about that. But I'm always reminded the spirit is always stronger than the flesh. Because in the flesh, it's my power and I have no power really. But in the spirit, there is all kinds of power. The Holy Spirit is strengthening us. So what are we going to do? I've read that God will supply our needs according to his riches. Because he owns everything. Now I can read that as a Christian. I can read it and I can learn the historical moment for that. And I learned it. Great. I also can read it, maybe get a commentary, and begin to understand the more depths of it and the deepness of it. And many of you probably have. But to experience the power of the Scripture is a different thing. Here's what the problem is. Most of us believe, we believe it happened for Paul. But we don't believe it happened for us. Because you're still thinking in the flesh. I expect myself to be boasting on Jesus in about 24 hours. Now see, most of the time you don't share a need like this because you're kind of nervous. Is God going to answer? Is God going to answer? Because you're putting yourself out there. And then usually people will say, I'll do it at the end when God answers. And then I'll just tell the whole story. But how more powerful it is when you put your test to the faith, your faith to the test, and you put it out there. You're not tempting God, but you put it out there because you're not tempting him when he's called you to do something. And you're following it. So you go out there and you get out there and you start doing it. So I'm putting it out there today, tonight, that we have a need. I'm not asking you to put money in it. I'm asking you to believe. And you be like me, that you're expecting God to do something. But even if you have a faith the size of a mustard seed, right, Mr. Jones? It's the biggest. It grows the biggest. All God is asking is something very simple. You know what it is? Trust me. Trust me. It's easy to trust God when you have a lot of money in the account. It's easy to trust God when everything is moving and going well. But it's when the storms come in and you put your eyes and you focus on the storm, that's exactly when you take your eyes. That's when you need to take your eyes off the storm and look at Jesus, who can calm the storm. My encouragement for you tonight is to pray for what we need. Tonight, this message is a little bit about Paul, but it's really about faith. Paul had a lot of it. God, I believe, will come through tomorrow, and we're going to make this out, and we're going to brag about him. I don't see another option. I don't see another option. So we're going to glorify God. I pray that we will do that tomorrow. But it's tonight, where weeping is in the night and joy comes in the morning. So tonight we have to do what we have to do. You know what that is? We need to pray. You have, the Bible says, you have not because you ask not. Tonight we're going to ask. So that's what we're going to do. Let's go ahead and stand. So tonight...